Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who have they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. I ask you, please just help me, Lord. Just speak through me, Lord. Just help us keep us safe tonight, Lord. And just give us a good ride home. And Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. First, I'm going to start off with saying I thought that I got saved whenever I was 6 years old. And I thought getting salvation was just a prayer. But 2 months ago, I actually felt in my heart that I wasn't saved, and I got that settled on Wednesday night. So, my sermon is titled, Three Steps to Life. The first step to life is salvation. First, you have to get saved to do anything for the Lord. So, getting saved, if you see in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So first you have to get saved, because you can't do anything for the Lord unless you're saved. So, and then the second step to being in life is be a light. Matthew 5:14 says that ye are the light of the world. Well, you can't be a light if you don't have the living light inside of you. So, therefore, you have to be saved. So, in my life, I really do, it touches me whenever I think of being a witness, because I know that I have a grandpa that's not saved, and I have talked to him before about salvation, but I know that I need to try more often and just be a more outgoing Christian to others. And the step three of the steps to life is be an example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So if nobody tells the lost about Jesus, then they're never going to know. So you actually have, as a Christian, make an effort to talk to somebody about Jesus and actually be a witness to them. And you should also be a witness to other people around you, because you never know who's looking up to you. I mean, you could have a little kid looking up to you, and you could be doing something stupid, and then you... And then they start doing it, and then you're just a bad example to them. Also, just like everyone thought that I was already saved, there are always people around you who may think that they are already saved but are not. Living godly should be part of who we are, no matter who we hang around. We should choose good friends in order to also encourage us, because sharp iron sharpeneth iron. So we should be an example to other Christians, but we should also hang around people that are going to be good examples to us. And I know this really touched my life, because I do really need to just be more outgoing and think of others that, I mean, they could be on their way to hell, and you could die and go to hell. So in my life, I just need to be a better Christian, and I hope that just helps you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for just allowing me to preach, Lord. I ask you, please be with the many preachers that we have to come, Lord. Just help us, keep us safe. Bless us tonight, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm going to be preaching on a very unfamiliar passage tonight, on the armor of God. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm going to be preaching on the armor of God tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray you just calm my nerves tonight, Lord. I pray you just give the many preacher boys the words to speak, Lord. I just pray that you just help us all, Lord. And I just pray you use us in a mighty way, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In verse 11, I'd like to point out that it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says that if you are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, you have to put on the whole armor of God. You can't just put on parts of it. Have you ever heard the expression, a chain is as strong as its weakest link? Just like the armor, it's as strong as your weakest piece of armor. If you have a weak piece of armor, that's where the devil is going to strike you. That's where you're vulnerable at. In verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." In the beginning of verse 12, it says that we do not have a physical battle that the armor is needed for. It is needed for a spiritual battle. It says we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. And these are all examples of the darkness that we war against. In verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." When we got saved, we came from being children of darkness to becoming children of the light. And it's saying that we need to walk in the light. And in this passage, it'll be talking about how to walk in the light, and that is to put on the armor of God. In verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And what is truth? Truth is the word of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth is the word of God, and it is the doctrine of Christ. And you need to have the truth of God at the center of your life and of yourself. Good. It says, "Put on the breastplate of righteousness." A breastplate was used on your upper torso to protect your major organs like your heart and your lungs. You need to protect your heart and your life by putting on this breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness in this passage is meaning right living in the right way. And this is what will protect you from the fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and filthiness and all that. And it says in verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means to go out and reach people for Christ. It means to be ready to go out and give the gospel to someone. And I'm glad to grow up in a church that goes on visitation on Tuesday nights and Saturday nights, and I'm just thankful to be a part of a visitation like that and in ministry. And I just have to thank you for doing that on Tuesdays and Saturdays. And verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Faith is putting your trust in Jesus Christ and putting your trust in God that He will deliver you from the hand of darkness. The Bible says above all because the faith is the foundation of a Christian life. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Faith is the first step to getting saved. It's the foundation of a Christian life, to have a good and strong Christian life. If you have faith in God, He will protect you. He will be your shield. In verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The helmet of salvation symbolizes that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that you might have a home in heaven, believing that He died on the cross for your sins. And it says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the Bible, He quoted Scripture to defend Himself against it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is powerful and is a key aspect into this armor of God. It is used in defense and in offense to fight against the devil and his darkness. And I'd like to close tonight on asking you if you have on the whole armor of God, and the whole armor of God, not just bits and pieces of it. Because if you don't have on the whole armor of God, you will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day against today, Lord. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach, Lord. And I just pray just to be with the other preacher boys tonight, Lord. And I just pray just to be with the other things that are going on in the service, Lord. And I just pray just help us, Lord, and give us a good night, Lord. Just never pray. Amen.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to pick up on those two sermons. Those are pretty good. And I'm kind of excited to see Aiden's because I know he's been working on his. Well, today we'll be in Mark 5:19. Mark 5:19. And it's kind of funny because we told the preacher guys, we're like, we're not going to tell each other what our sermons are about. And they've kind of all blended together.
Yeah.
And like Brody's, the first one was about knowing that you're saved. And Isaac's, the next step, putting on your whole armor of God. And I'm going to be preaching about who will. In Mark 5:19 it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had great compassion on thee." So in this chapter, it's about the man who had the cleanse of demons, and the man wanted to stay with Jesus. But Jesus told him to go and tell thy friends. And I wonder why Jesus told him to go and tell thy friends when he has 12 disciples. Well, first is, we can't just as Christians, it's like life reference. Just as Christians, we can't just know that we're saved, and we can't just know that we have this and all this and just keep God to ourselves.
Right.
God died for everyone, not just us.
Right.
And, He wants everyone to know about him and how he died for him. Well, I'm a Christian. I know most of y'all are. I'm just going to give you some challenges, questions. If we do not tell the unsaved how to keep from spending eternity in hell, who will? If we do not tell them that sin is wicked and destroys our lives and those around us, who will? If we don't tell them what God says is sin, who will? How will they know that anything is wrong if we don't tell them? If we do not tell them that God's way is right and all other ways are wrong, who will? How will they know the difference between Buddhism, atheism? How do they know it's right? If we do not tell them that God has preserved his will and his way in the King James Bible, so we will know exactly what he wants us to know, who will? And it kind of ties into Romans 10:13-15. Go there real quick. "For with his heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord is over the all, is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So just at work, telling people that you're a Christian, not being ashamed of what you believe in and how what God has done in your life and how what God is doing for your life. If we do not have the guts to stand up for what we believe in and what God's word says, who will? And I'm a Christian and I have responsibilities. We all do. We cannot be silent. The world needs to know what God wants us to tell and show them. And that is it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings. Thank you for this privilege to be able to come up here and preach, Lord. Lord, and I thank you for these preacher guys that you've allowed me to grow up with and this youth group that you've allowed me to grow up with. Lord, I thank you for all the blessings with the new building, Lord, that you've blessed us with throughout the years.
And Lord, I pray that you would help Aiden as his sermon goes, Lord. I know he's been working hard on that, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with his message and give him the words to speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello, how are you all? That's good. All right, I'm going to be preaching out of the chapter of Matthew, book of Matthew, sorry, chapter 28 and 18 through 20. Okay. All right. If you've all turned there, the sermon I'm preaching is the Great Commission can't be fulfilled without great assurance, assistance. Right. So 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord, and all your many blessings. And thank you for the other three who've preached, Lord. And just please bless their hearts, Lord, and be with me and give me the words to say, Lord, and the right things to say. And you know, I pray, amen. All right. So in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the ends of the end of the world. Amen." So this takes place right after Jesus being crucified and after the upper room and Jesus appearing to them. And he's commanded them to go unto Galilee, and Jesus appears to them and gives them the command to go and preach the gospel to every nation. And so it also says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," which means everyone who they've taught to teach the same thing to other people. So. Yeah. Which also applies to us, because we wouldn't have this if they didn't. So that means going to become a pastor or to become an evangelist or just going to ministry. And so the reason of this is because God is a high authority in our life. But for the lost, they don't really have a higher authority, but just a high authority. Like an example could be like a boss or a teacher or anybody that's higher in position than you. So why should we go to the mission field? Well, because Jesus told us to. And if you consider yourself a believer, then you must consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, no less than the chosen, the first 12 disciples. So why should we go to the mission field or etc.? You should go because the need is so great. 80,000 unsaved people die every day and face the judgment seat of Christ. So if you multiply that by 7, so that's a week, and then multiply those weeks by the month, you get 672,001,000,000 die every year. And it's just, the need is so great. I mean, we don't even think about that. Just how many unsaved souls die. And it just really gets to me. And so every believer is called to spread the good news about those who have not heard. Jesus' command is definite and clear. This is his great commission to the soldiers of his holy army. And like Tyler and some others, I think, were talking about the the whole armor of God. What is the armor used for? It's for battling, in battle. So we are his holy army. We put that on to go out. Most of us just sit here in church and just go through the motions. But what good is it? So why should we go? You should go because so few Christians are obeying the call. Right. We need to go because our great general has commanded us to go. And Romans 10, 17 through 14, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, if you'd like, you can turn to Romans 10, 14 and 10, 17, sorry. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So they can't hear who's talking if there's no one there. So that's why we have to go. So you're probably thinking, but I don't feel called to the ministry, or I don't feel called to be an evangelist or preacher, so on. But sure, God can use nurses, teachers, accountants, and mechanics, but nothing could be more foolish reason to putting off obeying God. But I've never heard God telling me not to go. So the truth is, God has already told you to go in his word. He commands us to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and 15. So you are called. So you might also say, but I'm physically unable to go, therefore I can't. But there will always be enough people around the world who will not answer the call, who will just stay home and gladly send a check to the field instead of themselves. So God does need people to stay, though, and support those ministries who have already answered the call. But God has spoken to you and told you to go into the ministry. If so, it's probably wise to obey the command. If God has told you not to go, then it's probably not God speaking to you. Again, you are called. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You must stop and count the cost, but the privilege of serving God always outweighs the price. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this amazing day, Lord, for us to hear your preaching, and thank you for letting me be able to preach tonight. And please be with the people leaving the building, Lord, and just bless them on the roads. And you know, I pray, amen.
Of the young men read the exact same passage. Did you notice that? What's interesting was I asked them all they're preaching on, and they one by one told me witnessing. And it would be easy to say, well, someone else started preaching on that. Don't preach on that. But I know God put it on their heart. And I want you to know, as a church, I know what they said tonight carries weight, but most of y'all know, and those of you who don't know, those same people that said those messages are out here every Saturday morning carrying out the Great Commission. And that wasn't just a bunch of boys who just said, I'm going to preach on witnessing. That was a bunch of boys who are putting feet to what they preach. Yeah. And I just want to read one verse to you. The verse is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And can I just challenge us as a church? I know God spoke to my heart tonight. I intend to be the altar in myself tonight. But let's not be the person that throws water on a teenager who wants to serve God. And let's not be the one who finds a young person who's doing the right thing and just say, it will fade off. Because, you know, God's given us a great group of young people. And my goal and all I want to do is just keep on adding fuel to that fire. And praise the Lord for the teenagers God gave us. And I'm going to allow Pastor to come extend the invitation tonight.